Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, retirement is full of surprises, and how we deal with them could impact the success of our golden years. So today we're going to break down the certainty and the uncertainty in retirement.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you, too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. I'm Steve Siddall. Kevin, of course, has been helping folks for more than 30 years. You'll find him at Silverleaf Financial. Silverleaffinancial.com is the website. Jot that down. And so, Kevin, another big week going on, huh?
Oh, it's been, yes. And anybody that's, if you've listened in the past, you know we've mentioned NVIDIA a couple times. Probably a couple dozen times. But, NVIDIA is I think if you're an investor, you had to have heard of NVIDIA at this point. It is really the big benefactor. They are making the most money off of artificial intelligence right now, as far as I can tell, and their earnings and their sales have been going absolutely through the roof. In fact, I heard some analysts saying this morning that they don't think they have ever seen. This is a guy that's been an analyst, a semiconductor analyst for 25 years. He says he has never seen a company grow as fast as this one is growing.
Holy cow.
And their income
that's really saying something.
Oh, my gosh. I think so. Because remember, that includes the whole dot-com bubble. That 25 years, includes the end of the 90s. And, and this is a guy that focuses on that sector. So their earnings, folks, were up 600% in 1 year. Okay?
Oh, gosh.
And it is not an aberration. The fact is, according to the CEO, they cannot produce enough supply to meet the demand. And so their biggest customers are all the big, huge tech companies. So Meta, Amazon, Alphabet, they're all Microsoft. They are all the ones. They are the biggest customers for NVIDIA. And so personally, in full disclosure, I am an owner. I'm a shareholder. I've been in NVIDIA for a while now. But I'm going to keep on holding on to it. I don't know what the numbers are, but well over 100%. But I'm going to keep on holding it. In fact, I'll probably use any weakness to add to my position.
Sure.
So I think for the next couple of years, it should have a ton of growth ahead of it. But bear in mind, anybody that gets into anything like these AI stocks can be very, very volatile. So if you can't stomach, 10, 15, 20% drop, you probably shouldn't be in them. I'll tell you what, some of the longer-term investors with NVIDIA, since we're talking about that one, they've had to sit through a 70-75% downturn, okay, to hold the position through 75% drop. And a lot of people just aren't comfortable doing that. And so, but that's really what you have to do if you want to, if you want to accumulate big wealth in some of these stocks. The reason why the CEOs, we all hear about all the billions that Elon Musk has and Jeff Bezos have, is because they got all this stock through their company and their 401k plan, and they were working at the company. They didn't really have much. I mean, I suppose they could have sold it within the plan potentially, but a lot of them don't even let you do that. So in a lot of cases, they don't really have a choice but to hold on to the stock. And so it's a different situation, you know, than if you're just a regular investor watching it. You can make the decision to sell it whenever you want to. And so nonetheless, but if you look at the long term, guys, how about a stat? I'll give you a stat here. If I'm not mistaken, a $5,000 investment in NVIDIA 10 years ago will be worth over $1 million today. So,
oh, gosh.
But you have to hang on through some big, big drops.
Oh yeah, there was right? a time when it was you know, it was gloom and doom.
Oh yeah, and the thing is, you never know when it, you know, we've got the benefit of hindsight, right?
Yeah.
We've lived through it. We don't need a crystal ball because we can just look at the history. Well, it's easy to look back and say, man, I should have bought Netflix, you know, 20 years ago. I should have bought Amazon 20 years ago. I should have bought Nvidia. Of course, you're right, and I think that if you can't figure that out with the benefit of hindsight, that's a whole other conversation, all right? The fact of the matter is every day that you wake up, and if you're really thinking about it, you don't know when another competitor is going to come up. You don't know when some next brainchild at some Ivy League school is going to create some phenomenal thing that knocks NVIDIA off of the throne, right? It could happen at any point in time. It could mm-hmm. happen anywhere around the world, right?
Yes.
And when a company's making this much money, do you think anyone else is paying attention, right? I mean, I think all the other big tech companies, they're all looking at, hey, can we make this thing for ourselves? How can we get NVIDIA out of the picture? How about if we just make it ourselves, right? And so there's always the issue of competition. And so when I say I think it's a good hold for the next few years, you know, that's not without risk, right? There's always a possibility somebody comes along with something bigger, better, faster, cheaper, and, you know, and it might not work out. So just remember, there's a lot of risk with all of these things too. Yes, you can make money if you're in the right place for the right amount of time, but you can lose your money in a lot of different ways in the stock market too.
Oh sure, yeah. There's plenty of ways to lose money, but there's also ways to make money, and that's one of the things that you really excel at is when it comes to retirement portfolios, retirement plans, income plans. You know, the market is always part of what you do.
Yes, for sure. You know what? And I think it's important. You know, we're going to talk about some things. You know, that we started off the show with. You know, the things that are certain and both uncertain.
Yes.
You know, and one of them is inflation, right? And
yes.
one of the suggestions for me, I believe a good way to stay ahead of inflation or at least stay even with it is to have some money invested in the stock market. All right, and I stress some money, okay, because that's my personal opinion on really all your investments. All right, I'm a believer in annuities for some people, all right, for a portion of their portfolio. And just like I believe in bonds and I believe in treasuries. But it's all for a portion of the portfolio, and we allocate it based on the individual's, you know, goals and objectives and tolerance, things like that. But historically, stocks have been one of the best performing assets. So if you want to stay ahead of inflation, it can be dangerous if you have all of your money in fixed interest. And I meet a lot of retirees, Steve, that have all their money in fixed interest. And I get the attraction, because especially now, because rates are higher than they've been in, 20 years or something. And so I do get that attraction. And if you're able to lock in rates, you know, if you're a 5% or better, then I think you have a good chance. Then I personally believe you should be fine staying ahead of inflation for the foreseeable future, right? But if you're making 5% and inflation is growing 6 or 7%, then you've got a problem or potentially have a problem down the road. And so the benefit of stocks is that they typically will outpace inflation. But you have to remember, we can go through long periods of time where you could be losing money. And that's something a lot of people just don't want to deal with, especially in retirement.
Of course. And one of the other things, the expect the unexpected, is health care. And not that it's unexpected to have health care, but when we have to start to use it, that's when it can get a little tricky.
Oh, yes, it can. And guys, you all want to – everyone wants to make sure you mark your calendar for Medicare. You're supposed to sign up at 65, you know, which means that you want to sign up, let's say, 3 months before you turn 65. I believe you can apply as much as 6 months in advance, actually. And so make sure you do that unless you've got health insurance from an employer or something else. Because if you don't, you will have to pay a higher premium for your Medicare for life. It's a lifetime penalty, okay? So make sure you sign up on time. And then you got to get familiar with it. I think the premium right now for Part A, most people get that, you know, once you've, 10 years, 40 quarters.
Yeah.
And then most people qualify for Part A for free. Part B is what you pay for. That's your doctor visits and all that stuff. And right now that is about $175, I believe, is about the premium.
That's kind of the ballpark, yeah.
Right. So a couple, you're paying $350, you know, every month. And remember that that covers 80% roughly. It does not cover all of it. The good news to me, as a person that's been self-employed and has my own health insurance, and anybody that's priced individual health insurance knows it can be very expensive, and that comes automatically with a very high deductible. All right, I have deductibles of $8,000 per person in my household. But the beauty of Medicare is your deductible is only a couple hundred bucks. And I think the hospital deductible is like $1,600. So it's less than $2,000
yeah.
per person, which to me is very attractive.
That's a bargain.
Right? So I think Medicare is a great deal. I'm looking forward to getting on Medicare, to be honest. And one thing that I'm planning on doing that we've talked about before, something a lot of people can do, is look at a health savings account, HSA.
I've learned so much about HSAs from you, Kevin. It's just amazing how powerful this can be.
Oh, my gosh. It's incredible. And I'll tell you what, guys, I'm investing in my HSA. In fact, I've got NVIDIA stock in my HSA. And the beauty of it is when you look at it and you see all the growth, and then you remind yourself that's all tax-free. All right? Guys, an HSA is the best account that's available to anybody, in my opinion, if you're eligible. All right? You've got to have a high-deductible health insurance plan. You've got to have a health insurance plan that is HSA compatible, okay? So if you're interested, that's what you look for, but it's got to have a high deductible, which means in most cases, you know, they're best for people that don't have a lot of health issues, because otherwise you're coming out of pocket a lot of cash, right?
Yes.
So you want to pay attention to that. You want to do what is medically in your best interest. I'm not a doctor. I just want to let you know from a financial perspective, the health savings account is truly the only account that you get a tax break for money that you put into it, and it grows tax-free, and provided you use the money for qualified medical expenses, which includes dental, includes vision, includes hearing, and it includes long-term care expenses. You can use this money for all sorts of things, guys. And guess what? You can use it for your Medicare premium, all right? And so let's say you're like most people. You get your Social Security check, and the government already deducted your premium for Medicare. Well, what you do, what I'm going to do at the end of the year, I'm going to pull out, you know, my $4,200 or whatever it is that me and my wife paid for the year, and I'm going to reimburse myself tax-free from my HSA.
Wow, that's fantastic. Again, people aren't aware of that.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what? You don't have to do it every year. Maybe I'll wait 5 years and pull out $20,000 to reimburse myself tax-free, right? It's the point is, you don't have to do it on a it's not a pay-as-you-go basis. It's not something you have to do every year. It's not like that, I think there was, a flex account or something. What the heck was it?
Yep.
But you had to spend it down at the end of every year.
Right, yeah, that was the flex account, yeah,
yeah,
versus
this,
an HSA.
Exactly. This is not that's not the case with the HSA, okay? It's your money. You control it. In my case, I'm 100% invested in mine because my plan for my HSA for me and my wife – and I'll tell everybody, I'm 59. You can pretty much find anybody's birth date online these days.
Sure, you can.
You know, so I'm 59. You can only contribute to an HSA until you turn 65, basically. Okay. Until you start Medicare, I should clarify. Once you start Medicare, you can no longer contribute money to an HSA. That's very important. All right. So basically, the longest you can contribute is, you know, up to 65. And so my plan for me and my wife, though, is to let it continue to grow because, again, it's growing tax-free. So to me, I'm thinking I'll wait till my early or mid-70s and just let it grow that entire time. And then sometime in my 70s, I'll start pulling it out. I've been collecting our receipts and our bills for every medical bill we've paid. And like I said, remember, guys, this includes dental. Most people do not have very good dental insurance.
No.
I don't know if there is such a thing.
That's what I was going to say. I'm not sure that exists.
Is that like an oxymoron there? Good
dental? Yeah, kind of.
I tell you what. I actually switched. I've been going to a dental school in Arizona, Midwestern here.
Yeah.
You know, is where I go. I am very happy with them, and it saves me a boatload of money on dental procedures, which I've had quite a few, unfortunately. But guys, the point is the HSA can cover that as well. It'll cover it can you can use it for chiropractic visits, for hearing if you need hearing aids. There's all sorts of things. The one thing that's weird, you cannot reimburse yourself for or use it to pay for your Medicare supplement plan. Now, I have no idea why, but
interesting.
But that's the rule.
Okay, so, well, I can take that rule because the other parts of it are so good.
Oh, God, there's so much you can use it for. I have no doubt that I'll be able to use it all tax-free for health expenses, medical, dental, and so on. But you know what? Even if you don't, let's say somebody, you get to be in your 80s, you're in great health, and you got all this money in the HSA, you can just, once, I believe the age is 60, I'm not sure if it's 65 or 67, so I'll have to double-check on that, guys. But you can start withdrawing it. And what would happen is you would pay tax on the money, but it's not like you wouldn't get penalized. There's no penalty. You would pay tax on it.
Okay.
So, which is kind of like, if you think about it, that's just like an IRA. All right. IRA, you grew it tax deferred. You got the tax break. When you take it out, you pay tax. So basically, if you do it that way, you're essentially turning the HSA into another IRA account.
Yeah. Wow. And more like a Roth.
Yeah, right? And if you're able to use it for medical, it's definitely like a Roth. In fact, it's better.
Yeah.
Better than a Roth in my view, because you've got so much flexibility, and you did not have to pay tax on it when you put the money in there.
Right.
So which is the Roth. So the HSA to me is a great way to do it, and if you're interested, I can invest that. My brokerage firm will take HSA accounts. So if you want to be able to invest in tech stocks or oil stocks or a mutual fund or an ETF, you can do that in the HSA. Now, it's really important you work with somebody that knows what they're doing so that it's set up properly and you get the correct tax breaks. So make sure you work with somebody that has experience with these.
800-975-6717 is the phone number to reach Kevin. Call him right away, 800-975-6717, or you can visit the website, silverleaffinancial.com. You can shoot off an email to Kevin right there on the homepage. And as long as you're on the website, dig in. You've got some stuff there for folks to see. It's great information.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Yeah, by all means, guys, please check it out. We try to keep it fresh. We're always putting up new content. We've got blogs on retirement and IRA from, the IRA guy, Ed Slott himself. There's a lot of information on there about investing, about retirement, as well as videos. And we keep podcasts. We keep the podcast for the last several months. I think I've got at least 20 shows up there. So you can sit down and check them out whenever you want to and get an idea of whether we might be a good fit and whether it might make sense for you to sit down and for us to meet face-to-face and have a little more in-depth conversation.
Sure. And again, it's that simple, folks. And just give Kevin a call, 800-975-6717. So we're talking about things, expect the unexpected, things that just kind of pop up, and oh my goodness, here come the kids.
Oh, right, yes, and not just kids, it could be grandkids.
Oh, grandkids, yes, move in, come on.
Yeah,
there's room for everybody.
Right, they need help paying some bills or whatever it might be. And guys, I know it can be tough, and I know there's something like half of the population, adult kids, still ask parents for money. And guys, I think it's important. You got to set boundaries, let them know that you don't have unlimited resources and that any help you give them is limited. And there's a point they should all be independent. And,
yes.
And I think a big part of doing this is having the financial discussions when they're kids, when they're young, and talking about the value of money and then letting them know at some point in time, it's goodbye, good luck, and get the heck out, right?
That's right.
So can't live off of mommy and daddy forever.
Right. One of the things that you talk about too is education and how important that is, that we learn what we're doing, and education is a key part of what you do when you work with folks and put that plan together.
Yes, let's face it, there's a lot of things I don't know much about. And because I haven't spent my lifetime studying them. But I've been a financial advisor for 34 years, and I've done it every day for 34 years. And so I think that it puts you in a position where you can educate, and that's what I want to do, is I want to help people make the best decisions they can. And that is somewhat self-serving too, guys, because the better job I do helping you get into the right investments, the better everybody's life is. Okay, because I don't want people losing sleep at night. I don't want people that are nervous or uncomfortable or feeling any stress. I really want what I think is attractive is a stress-free retirement. And so that's what my goal is. And I don't have, you know, I do work with insurance products and annuities, but to be honest, I couldn't care less if you're invested in annuities or if I build a stock portfolio or a stock and bond portfolio or mutual funds. I don't have an agenda one way or the other. I just want to do what I can to help you meet your goals, and I don't want to take more risk than we have to take and more than you're comfortable taking. So that's where I like to focus, is figuring out the risk first, right? So let's figure out how much you want to keep safe, how much you're comfortable putting at risk, and that's where we can start off in figuring out which direction to go. Because one thing that happens, Steve, when somebody sits down is there's so many different directions you can go, and there's so many different things you can invest in, that it can be a kind of mind-numbing, you know, for a lot of folks, because they look at all these choices and they're like, holy cow, how do I know which way to go? Which one am I supposed to do, right?
Right, exactly.
And so that's where I think it benefits. You can learn a lot by sitting down with different advisors. You know, like I had a conversation with a client the other day that her air conditioner is going out, and somebody's telling her that she needs to spend all this money on both a new furnace and a new air conditioner. And so I asked her, I said, to make sure you talk to several people, I always recommend 5 or 6 contractors at least. And I know that sounds, maybe it sounds unnecessary, maybe it sounds like a lot of work. But guys, the way that I look at it, like this happened to me a few years ago, I probably called 10 different contractors because the bids they were giving me were thousands of dollars apart.
Wow.
And I'm like, how in the heck can they be such a big difference? It's the same project for everybody, right? And so, I mean, I even had one guy come out here, and what I would do is I would get the estimate from the contractor in writing, and then the next guy that comes along, I would show it to him. I'd say, this is where this guy's at, because I want to try to get him to beat that bid, right?
Yeah.
So I'll show him the bid so he knows I'm not BSing him. And then he looks at it and he says, you know what, the parts that he's got on here and the work that he's talking about doing? He goes, you don't even have those parts in your equipment. That's not what you have.
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously, it's 100% true. And I had told my wife when the earlier guy was here, I said, because he was a young guy, right? He looked like early 20s. And I'm like, I don't know how much experience this guy has. It looks like he's brand new on the job. So I think he was literally brand new on the job. I don't think he knew what the hell he was doing. And I think he just made it up and he wrote it out, thinking that I also would not know if what he wrote down was real or not. And yeah. the answer is no, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Wow.
Yeah, so my point is, as you talk to more people, as you talk to more contractors, I didn't know anything about air conditioning, right? But
right,
as I talk to half a dozen guys, though, I'm going to learn something from each person I have a conversation with. And that's going to make me a little bit smarter, a little sharper, so that I can do a better job selecting the best person. So that's,
I think
that's
that sounds like a plan.
Hey, that's how I think about it. And I say the same thing with financial advisors. Talk to a few of us. Sit down, kick the tires, so to speak. See who you're going to be, who can be a good fit, because ideally, I'm looking for clients that are going to be with me for decades. Not a couple weeks, couple months, couple years. You know, I've got clients that have been with me from the 90s. And I feel great about that, because the better an individual knows you, the better your advisor knows you, the better job he or she should be able to do in terms of selecting the right investments, making the right allocations, and heading you in the best direction for your situation. And so I think, to me, it's important to find somebody you can have a good, solid, long-term relationship with.
Sure. Well, as we look at this, a couple of other things on the pop-up kind of problems. Taxes. Here's the thing with taxes, and I say that, I just know that you can put together a plan that really addresses the tax issue.
Yes, and you know, a lot of people don't think about this. They say, you know what, I got $1 million in my retirement accounts, and I say, well, you know, that's before you share with Uncle Sam, right?
Right.
And because really, you got to take out probably at least a quarter, if not more, of that, you know, to pay taxes. And so we want to make sure that what we're looking at is we're looking at it on an after-tax basis in terms of your spending plan, right? Because one of the first things we want to look at, guys, we want to look at, you know, all of your assets and all of your liabilities, and then we're going to look at all of your income sources and all of your monthly expenses. And we want to make sure, in my opinion, you're best off with having guaranteed income sources. So if you have Social Security and a pension, those are both guaranteed, right? Because I want to do my best to have all your expenses covered on a guaranteed basis, so that we don't have to rely on the stock market to generate good returns, to do what you want to do. Certainly, people, you can do it however you like. I'm happy to set it up however you like. I just want you to know that if you're relying on withdrawals from the stock market, from a stock and bond portfolio, right, they're not guaranteed. They're not assured. And if the markets do drop, maybe the best move would be to stop taking those withdrawals. And a lot of people might not be in that position they could do that. So we want to make sure you got that good cash flow. But when we're taking that money out, right, we want to make sure we're looking at the taxes. And so that's why I recommend having the HSA, which is a tax-free account, having a Roth IRA, which is a tax-free account, so that if you take out a bunch of money in 1 year, maybe you bought a new car or bought a second house or who knows what, maybe if you had some big withdrawals, it could move you up in a higher tax bracket. And then if you still need cash, maybe it makes sense to take some from those tax-free accounts to keep you from going up into a higher tax bracket. So that's an individual conversation, but it's flexibility that everybody should build into their plan so that you can choose, are you taking it from a taxable account or are you taking it from a tax-free account? And I think that would give you a lot more flexibility that would be beneficial in your retirement years.
Of course, yeah. So can we move on to BlackRock?
To BlackRock?
Yeah. So and what they're doing?
Oh, yeah, sure. By all means.
Sure.
All means.
All right. So, BlackRock, of course, the biggest, procurer of retirement funds. They're in the trillions.
Yes, they're trillions for sure.
Yeah. And so they've created a new plan wherein they are talking about annuities inside of 401k. Let's hear from Nick Nafos, Global Head of Retirement Solutions at BlackRock. Here's kind of an overview of life.
What we did is we merged the two of those together. So what we did is we took a target date fund, and instead of just buying stocks and bonds, we're now buying stocks, bonds, and these insurance contracts. So we start buying them around the age of 55 when you start need to think about preparing for spending and retirement. And then when you get to retirement, if you choose to, we can take those insurance contracts and we can turn them into a paycheck for the rest of your life.
Well, that sounds good. But Kevin,
right?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Haven't you been doing this for just about 34 years?
Yeah, there you go. I appreciate that. Yes, that's exactly what I've been doing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I realize they're kind of cornering the market, but okay.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And the irony of it is what's so funny to me is I hear people hear this message and they say, oh, that sounds really good. But then if you had the same conversation where you said, have you thought about an annuity? They want to step back. They want to move back in their chair. They want to cross their arms and say, what are you talking about? Why would I want one of those? And so there's a visceral reaction. I don't know why, but to the word annuity. And I think because it's been painted with a bad brush for a long time in the newspapers and the media. But guys, these have evolved considerably over the last 10, 15, 20 years. There's all sorts of new variations out there that didn't exist 20 years ago. One of them that I really like that's a feature in something called an index annuity, which means your gains are tied to like the S&P 500 index. But if the markets go down, you don't lose a penny. You're safe, right? So they go up when the markets go up, but they don't go down when the market goes down. So there's something very attractive in one of those that I like, and they're calling it a trigger. And what it means, in this case, the trigger rate is 9.5%. In fact, I saw one, I think, that's at 11% now. And what it means is that's the amount of interest you make if the market is even flat. So flat or up. And it doesn't matter how much it's up. So if it's up 1%, 2%, 3%, you still get paid 9.5%. And also if it's up 15%, 20%, 30%, you get paid 9.5%. So if it goes down, you stay flat. You don't lose anything. You don't make anything. Your account, you put in 100 grand, you still have 100 grand. But if the market is up even a penny, you get paid 9.5%. So to me, that is very attractive because it's pretty simple. It's straightforward. You make a flat return. If the markets are down, you stay flat. If the markets are up, you make 9.5%. So I think the way I look at it, 3 out of 4 years, the market's up. So I think over the life of the product, I believe you'd wind up averaging probably around 7%. So and that's just based on 3/4 of the time the market is historically higher. So I think that there's a lot of different features out there that people aren't aware of. And BlackRock doing this, I like it because hopefully it'll add a little more credibility to the annuity space. Because, guys, the fact of the matter is, if you have a pension, that's really a group annuity. That's what it is, okay? You've got a monthly check. You've got income coming in. but you don't have access to a lump sum, right? That's the definition of an annuity payment. Same thing with Social Security. Our Social Security program is one massive, massive group annuity, all right? We're all going to get income from it, but we don't have access to a lump sum. And it's an annuity, all right? It'll pay you forever. That's the benefit of them. It's the only account that'll pay you even if the account balance goes to zero, all right? So if you're looking at one of the risks I don't think we mentioned in earlier with the certainty and uncertainty aspect, one thing that everyone, most of us don't know is your longevity, right?
Oh, yes.
When's your expiration date? And because it's critical, right? And if like I told my wife, I said, well, if I knew if I was going to, you know, only make it to 61 or 62, then I certainly can retire. And I don't, and I don't have to keep on working. But if I'm going to be like my father and live to 93, then I probably should save a few more dollars. And so, but we don't know that, right? And so what we look at is the, you can look at the averages, for instance. Now, we all know that the average life expectancy is, what, mid to late 70s. But if you just look at a group of 65-year-olds, because anybody that died at a younger age, they're not in that group, right?
Yeah, it's that's important.
It is important because
to leave that out, yeah.
Well, yeah, because people that already died, they're bringing down the average. So you got a group of 65-year-old men on average. They're going to live about another 18 years, 17, 18 years, 82, 83, I believe is about the average. And with women, it's a couple years longer. Average 65-year-old woman is going to live to around 84, maybe 85. And so, but a lot of us, a lot of them are going into the 90s. I talked a little while back about a guy that I saw on the news in New Jersey that just turned 110. And the story is amazing to me. Because he still lives alone. He still drives his car every day. At 110. And his kids, which are probably, you know, 80, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
But his kids say, hey, we check him all the time, and he probably drives better than I do. And he's a good driver. He's lived in the same house since the mid-1940s, which is a three-story house. So he has to go up. He walks upstairs to his bedroom every night, and he walks downstairs to do his laundry. And so my point is he's mobile. At 110, he's still doing his own laundry, driving his own car, living on his own. He's totally cogent. And I'm saying we should be studying this guy.
Yes.
Medical people should be studying this person. Okay? Please. Because it's an amazing story. It's amazing. I don't know of anybody else at that age that was still as mentally sharp as he is. And didn't need any device to get around and can still drive. He's got good reflexes. So it's a pretty incredible story. But when I see that, I say, holy cow, that is an awful long retirement, too.
That's an awful long right. retirement. Wow, when you think about it that way, holy
right,
cow.
Right, think about that, 50-year retirement.
Yeah. So, yeah, but Social Security is still coming in for him.
There you go. It is. And it's got the COLA adjustment, right? It's got the cost of living adjustment, so which is nice. Most annuities, most pensions don't have that inflation adjustment. But your Social Security still does. So, and on the last note, I'll tell you guys, I'm voting all blue. I'm voting all Democrat because to me, Social Security and Medicare are the most important issues, and Democrats are the ones that gave us those programs. So that's how I'm looking at it. They need to take action on these programs. And one last note, there's a bill out there called "You Earned It, You Keep It" that wants to repeal the tax on your Social Security benefit check by getting rid of the wage cap for Social Security, essentially. So take a look at that. Let your Congress people know they should support that bill, and then you won't have to pay taxes on the Social Security check anymore.
That sounds like great advice, Kevin.
All right, check it out. It's on the AARP website.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member SPINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio.
For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise to create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.